Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Friday Conversations. Today, I'm really pleased to be speaking to Victor Osasu, and that's Victor with a K, which I think is fantastic. I've got a son called Victor with a C, so it's nice to see the different spelling. But it's really great to have Victor here with us today. He is a banking and finance lawyer and also a mentor and coach, particularly to junior members of the profession, which is how he and I first connected. And very interestingly, he is a speaker on fishing for talent in unconventional pools, which I'm sure he's going to tell us more about. So welcome, Victor. Go and tell everybody more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Morning, Hannah. Thank you very much for having me on your show. My name is Victor Osasu. I'm a senior corporate lawyer in a firm in the UK. And yes, I'm passionate about people. I'm passionate about seeing them grow, succeed. And I'm passionate about sharing my thoughts and ideas, what I see is what I've seen worked in my life, what I've seen working in other people's lives, and just from things I've gleaned from people as well. I love sharing. So that's what I love doing. So, and I love talking about fishing for talent in unconventional pool. That phrase I coined around 2006-07. And I was at the Association of Graduate Recruiters, and we're talking about recruitment, how to get people into the legal industry. And at the time, there was a dearth of not many Black and minority ethnic lawyers in a profession. And I said, we've got to start looking for talent in unconventional pools, because we keep going to the same pool to find talent. And then we complain, oh, we need a different type of fish. But you've gone to the same pool all the whole time. So the idea was, now we've got to start looking at other pools, because you've got talent everywhere. You're just not looking in the right places. So that's where that phrase is coined from. And it's really a challenge to the industry to start looking and start looking at how they do things and maybe start challenging themselves about it.
Well, I know what I found really interesting when we first met and started speaking was that you were doing this mentorship role and you know, you were calling it that and you're, you know, putting it on your profile and things, because I don't think there's many lawyers doing that. And I'm sure I said that to you at the time and said, you know, be louder about it, tell more people about it. But do you think it's something, I know unofficially people are mentoring behind the scenes, I'm sure. But, you know, to be talking about it as, you know, as openly as you do, and to put yourself out and say, that's what I am, I'm a mentor. You know, do you see many people doing that? I think it's fantastic, but I just don't see it a lot.
Thanks. I don't think a lot of people talk about it. I don't think a lot of people put it out there like I've done. And to be fair, it took me a long time to do that. So you may recall when we spoke last time, I have been mentoring for quite a long time. I started mentoring people when I didn't realize that was what it was. It was actually called mentoring, open coaching. And I think as part of the reinvention, part of, you know, re-examining yourself and the rest of it, you realize actually this is part of who you are, this is part of who I am. And if I'm going to be authentic about myself, then I've got to say who I am and not try and hide some part of me somewhere. And so it's something I do naturally. Wherever I go, I mentor people. I mentor junior lawyers. I've always done it. Even without a title of supervisor, I would do it. And it just made more sense to actually put it out there. And also the fact that I don't just mentor people within my particular firm, so the particular firm I work for, I actually mentor people outside of the firm. I work quite closely with the Law Society Diversity Access Scheme. I'm on a panel there. And so I mentor people from all over the place, and people get referred to me. And so it just made sense that it'd be out there because it's part of who I am. And you mentioned Victor, he's not just a lawyer, he's also the caring mentor.
Oh, I love that. The caring mentor. Oh, absolutely. Yes, he's not just a lawyer. I remember going on that journey, you know, a few years ago when I was trying to discover who I was, you know, outside being yes, a lawyer and a mum, and what was the future? Did I want to be in this profession anymore? And if I didn't, what would that mean about who I was? Because, you know, I remember sitting down and at the time I used some journaling to try and uncover some of this stuff. And I just remember writing over and over, I'm Hannah, I'm a lawyer, you know, and just thinking there must be more than this label. So no, I really like that, as you say, and the caring mentor as well is very much you, from what I know about you, very much so. So we're going to come back to that in a little while, but I do want to talk to you about the last 18 months. You know, so the first question I love to ask people, and I know this is going back quite some time now, if you can even remember, but Before the pandemic, did you work from home a lot? Was it quite a shock when March 2020 happened and suddenly you were at home full time? How did that work for you?
Oh God, it feels like a long time ago. I'm trying to blot that side of my life, my past. I don't want to think about it. Did 2020 happen?
The year that didn't happen, as
It
I was
didn't
calling it at
happen.
the weekend.
I can talk about pre-COVID. So yes, I worked from home one day a week. So I was used to working from home, but it was very different because you work from home. You knew you were going to be in the office the next day. You planned your day working from home, so you print stuff, take them home. You know what you're doing on the day you're working from home. Whereas March the 25th, when the announcement was made, it was very different. Well, for my firm, we actually started working from home 2 weeks before that, so preparing. We sort of knew it was going to happen, but then when it actually then happened, it was a bit of a shock to the system, because you're not the only one who's working from home. Everyone else is. And you can't go into the office the next day to get the other things sorted you want to sort out. And you're not just working from home, you have everyone else in the house with you. So I think that's the other thing. So obviously, hitherto, when I worked from home, the kids were at school, everyone was away, you had the house to yourself. But all of a sudden, everyone's at home and everyone's sort of staring at you, wondering what's going on. And so, yeah, that's how it was. It was very, it was a bit of a shock to the system, and I kept asking the question, "What does this mean? What does this mean? What's going on?" Yeah.
No, I'm with you there. I mean, I've been a huge fan of working from home for years, although I would go into the office sometimes and work elsewhere. But yeah, the biggest shock was having everybody else around, not being able to just wander and make yourself a tea or coffee when you want, without having to ask everyone else if they need anything. And it was a huge shock to the system. I'm with you there, having everybody around. And in fact, you'll be the first guest I've asked this question to, given where we're at now. But what does the future look like for you in terms of working from home? Will you go back to the one day a week from home in a structured way, or does it look different for you?
I think it's going to look different. We've seen working from home has worked well for the people we work for, in the sense that I don't think any firm really suffered because their fee earners work from home. In fact, I think everyone made a profit, so clearly it's worked. And on that basis, I think it's probably going to stay. So for me, it's going to be more of a hybrid where I would work 3 or so days a week from home, and then 2 days in the office, more for to see people and just to catch up with everyone else and to have that physical contact as well. I'm also a trainee supervisor, so it's nice to also see my trainees and that sort of thing. So so I think that's what I'll probably be doing going forward. Yeah.
That I think you're with so many people there. I think that will be the common approach, definitely.
Yeah, and also in terms of I commute normally, so the fact that I don't have to drive, I'm probably helping the environment as well. So there you go. That's a plus for me.
I totally agree. I mean, I've been saying it for years. The money spent on these big buildings, especially if we're all traveling into a central city location where there's little parking available. So the wasted time commuting, the parking, the environment, everything, it always made sense to me that we did a half and half approach.
And it's all changing as well because and I think and so you work in real estate, so you know this already. It's certainly in the residential market, it's all changing in terms of how properties have been built. So in the past, so pre-COVID, we were talking about technology. We're talking about having just as much as you have the EPC and you check for carbon and the rest, you now check for how much internet connectivity you have to a building. So that was sort of the new thing coming. And I think the next one now will be more of, do you have added space in your environment for working from home? So a property with a spare room or dedicated office room becomes a plus. So with all of that changes happening within the property industry, I just think it's a no-brainer. This whole thing has come to stay. A lot of people building garden offices, and that market has just skyrocketed already. So this is the future.
It is. In fact, it's in my future. I was just looking at the plans this morning to convert our garage into my new office. So
Can I
I'm
tell you
very
something? I'm
excited.
sat in one right now. There you go.
I love it.
This is
Yes,
the
I do.
future.
It is the future. I mean, I do have an office at home, but my eldest now needs it back for a bedroom.
Oh,
Um,
bless.
and so we need to look at that. And I'm quite happy to be having a brand new, bigger office with room to have clients in as well. So that's very exciting. But yeah, to completely agree with you. So what would you say have been the highs and the lows for you of the last 18 months?
Right, okay. The highs and the lows. I think it's been a mixed bag for me in a way. So in a way, some things have been a low, but at the same time, I've seen a high. I've been able to put a positive spin to it. So I think this one of the lows for me was just this huge uncertainty. I just didn't know what the future looked like when it all happened last year. And then I went on furlough. I was asked to go on furlough. And that was a huge low for me because I asked a lot of questions of myself. You know, I have senior people come up to me to say, we think highly of you and, you know, the usual stuff. It's just for the sake of the business, we have to do this. But if a deal comes in, you'll be called back the next day kind of thing, which is kind of really, in a way, positive as well. But I kind of felt, you kind of feel low out of that in a way. You're not sure what's happening next. And I think that was that for me. And I think it's just juggling. I had a lot more to juggle all of a sudden. So I had four young people in my house, not all my kids, but four young people in my house, one of whom was a university student, 17-year-old, who's just come back, an international student who's currently studying in the UK, who obviously couldn't be in that university because of COVID, so she had to be in the house with us. So all of a sudden, you're managing all of that stuff and managing yourself and then trying to get your work done. And it was just really juggling a lot and really trying to learn how to prioritize. So that was a bit of a low for me in that sense. In terms of the highs, I think is having the opportunity to really reflect and think about what's most important in life and that kind of stuff. And so I've got a really buzz out of that. So I think 2020, one way of describing it is reinvention really for me. It's about, okay, hold on, let's go back. And I connected with you in 2020, Hannah. I connected with a lot of people in 2020. A lot of things I would normally do. I had to step out, even in fear, there's that phrase, do it afraid, I did all of that in 2020 and I'm still doing that now. And I think that's probably a positive for me out of 2020, out of the whole lockdown, is doing stuff. You know, we lost loved ones, which is tough. Not all through COVID. Some COVID made an impact on that or accelerated the death. Yeah. But they didn't really have COVID. But all of that really made us think about, or made me think about life a lot more and think about, my purpose. Made me think more about what am I doing, what I'm doing? How do I spend my time? Made me really think about those things and make me realize that I really cannot take anything for granted anymore. So you see a lot of positives from that in that sense from the last 18 months.
I know you're a very positive person anyway, which is why you and I get on so well. But, and as you said earlier, you always try to put a positive spin on everything, as I do as well. And I think you're right. I mean, I love that, the year of sort of reinvention. And that is taking a positive spin on what was, a truly difficult and completely unexpected, and all the other words that we can use to describe it. There aren't really words, I suppose. Even looking back, it seems so surreal that we were all suddenly, one day going about our business as usual, and the next day we were all at home going nowhere, doing nothing. It was completely surreal, but yeah, many positives to take from it, I think. And I love yours as well. It's interesting. I did have a conversation with somebody last year and it keeps coming back to me about, how will the legal profession change as a result of last year, and where I'm interested in that, but I'm also really interested in how it changes for the individual. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because what I was talking about was, have people's values changed, have what's important to them in their life, just like you were saying, changed. And I said, in my opinion, they've not changed, they were always the same, but they were hidden. They didn't know, they didn't even realize. We were driven by values of ambition, wealth and security and all those things that we've been driving for since we came into the profession or studied to come into the profession, whereas actually suddenly those values of home, of family, of you, as you say, purpose, of why am I here, why do I do what I do, suddenly people had time to think about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. COVID put a halt to everything. Made us. There's a phrase I use all the time, which is pause and think. My friend shared that with me one time, and I think what COVID did was to really get everyone to pause and think. Some of us are still thinking, which I think is good because it's a process. But really, we sometimes just have to stop. And I think we get so busy, particularly in our industry, that we don't have time for self. You know, we spend a lot of time, and yes, we get paid for it to help clients, and we do. But actually, self, you know, do we actually spend time on self? And so that's part of my, and we'll come to this later, part of my mission really is about really thinking about the self as much as you think about others. Because how can you love others when you don't love yourself? You know, how can you really serve others well when you're not actually looking after yourself? The phrase physician, you know, treat yourself or heal thyself, you know, comes to mind. But we'll
Yeah.
come to that later.
Oh no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. Yes, we could talk for a very long time about that. I'm sure we could. But I'd love you to, and it may come into this, you've got an event or something coming up soon, and I want you to tell everybody all about that and how that fits in with your mentoring plans.
Oh, sure, no, absolutely. So, over the past, well, I get all the time, like I said at the beginning, all the time I get several requests for mentorship. I get them all the time in my inbox on LinkedIn and through my emails and stuff. And like I said, I'm passionate about people. I love to help, but I thought it'd be really good to do this in a way where I manage my time well. You know, it's not, there's no point trying to, you know, spread yourself so thinly. So I've come up with this idea of actually running an online mentoring session. So it's almost like a group session, but I call it a masterclass, and that's like a buzzword at the moment. So I call it a masterclass, where basically we're looking at kickstarting a successful career and the things I wish I knew. And the idea really is because we're in September, it's the beginning of a new season, a new quarter. A lot of things are new. People started new classes in school, people being promoted, trainees qualify, new trainees moving to their seats. You know, a lot of new things start in this time of the year. And it just made more sense to actually have it now. So how do you start well? You know, how do you start the way you want to go? Because one of the things I've discovered is that success is actually a decision. Success is not a matter of chance. You decide whether you want to be successful or not. And so, so really that's what this masterclass is about. And it's open to everyone. It is not, I'm not discriminating at all. I would have friends there who are from different industries, but I'll be coming with my experience from law, but also the fact that I've worked in other industries before coming into law. So I worked in education, I worked in politics before becoming a lawyer. My wife works in the medical field. So we'll come in on all of that stuff because we talk about this all the time. And so we'll be really trying to share some nuggets on how to really start well and how to really, it's really about fresh start, but it's also about gaining clarity. Some of us have always done the same thing day in, day out, but we're expecting change. And the question is, how can you expect change when you've done the same thing over and over again? So it's about, okay, how do you come about, bring about change? There are a lot of books out there on these things, but what we're trying to do in this program is to look about a how rather than just telling people this is what you need to, you know, go and do that, read that book. It's about how do you do that? How do you put together a career vision? What does that look like? Do you need one? What is it like to actually get mentors? Where do you want to be in the next 5 years, the next 10 years? You know, how do you get there? So it's really looking at all of that side of things. You know, how do we manage ourselves? How do we manage? I mean, there's a lot we won't be able to cover, but hopefully there'll be series from this. But there's a lot to cover in terms of at one point in the future, we're looking at things like money management. How do you're making this money? How do we manage it? How do we multiply it? There's the sort of stuff we're looking at later on, but in the immediate now, we're just looking at how do you start? How do you start well? How do you gain clarity so that in the next 4 months, over the next to the end of the year, you actually look back and say, yes, 2021 was a better year. You know, that's all we all want.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. No, I love that. As you say, success, as one of my coaches says, and I suspect you might have heard him on Clubhouse, he always says, success is not a chance, it is a decision. And it is up to us. And also your point about change. I mean, I love a good quote. People laugh at me for it, but I love a good quote. And again, on change, I always say to my clients, we can't change things, we can only change ourselves. Ultimately, everything is about starting with us and yeah, having that plan for the future. I think it's ironic that when you come into a profession like law, you have a plan because you need your A levels or your degree or whichever route you're taking. There is a plan, a clear and structured plan to get to where you want to be. But the minute you find yourself there, suddenly it's like, oh, well, I'm here now. So now what do I do? you know, what am I getting up for each morning? What is my driver, my motivation? What am I working towards? And you're absolutely right. We lose all sense of direction at that point. So
absolutely, absolutely. And it's really about challenging everyone to really have new dreams and have bigger dreams. Because the minute you attain one, you need to start, well, before you attain, you start thinking about the next one. But really, it's about a vision, really, because a vision is something that's bigger than you, right? It's really having about having a big vision, because people confuse visions and goals, and which are two different things. Yes, the goal is, yes, I want to have a training contract. The goal is I want to qualify. But there's a vision, which is a bigger thing. And that's the driver. That's what keeps you up at night. That's what makes you, when you wake up in the morning, you're excited. You know, Monday morning no longer becomes a gloomy day. It's a day where, you know, you're going to work. I'm going to make a huge impact. I'm going to make my clients proud, and with my boss proud, I'm going to make myself proud, because I'm going to deliver the best service, what I call the Rolls Royce service. That's what I'm going to do. But you do that out of a place of that vision you have, right? So it's really about that. And and yes, you're right, sometimes you drop the ball, and I've done that many times where I attain a thing and I drop the ball, and then later I look back and people actually called me and said to me, hold on, there was a buzz, there's a fire we saw in you, what's happened? And that's because, you know, life happens, right? So it's really about trying to create that, be in that zone where you basically look beyond just what's happening around you and actually look more to that vision that you have for yourself. And that becomes a driver. That becomes a thing that keeps you going. Because you always have troubles in life. You always have things happen that you don't like. So it's about that. So those are one of the things we were looking at in this masterclass.
It sounds fantastic. Well, I'll make sure that in the show notes I've got the details that people can find have a look at your masterclass or series of them, as I'm sure it will become. As you say, there's far too much to put into one, and I'm sure you'll have a lot of interest. And you know, the point you made about, you know, not spreading yourself too thinly, and so doing this as a bigger group, I have to say one of my biggest lessons this year in this past 18 months is the power of groups. You know, I put together my Wednesday coffee and coaching group, and I'm running a group coaching program at the moment, plus my mastermind. And the real power of that is the people together in the group. I mean, yes, I'm there, I'm part of it, but I'm a small part of it. The main power is everybody else. I think you'll have some wonderful sessions there.
That's so true, because also the other thing about success is that people think is a solo event, something you do by yourself, but it isn't. Even life is not meant to be lived alone, and that's something, you know, COVID has taught us as well. We're meant to do these things together, you know, and there's so much joy in doing it together, you know. Maybe that's why there's the African phrase that says it doesn't take a person to raise a child, it takes a village, because really it's about everybody together. It's about collaboration. And that's what the future looks like. Even in business, it's all about collaboration. You know, no one's running any show alone. So even when you look into tech, everyone's trying to collaborate. You know, people are coming together saying, I can do this, you can do this, let's do this together. We can actually reach farther. We can reach more people that way than actually trying to run our shows alone. And maybe that's the reason why sometimes, we don't attain what we want, or we don't get to where we need to be, because we're all trying to do things alone. But by actually sharing, you know, and realizing that it's okay to share with others, it's okay to have others with you, you actually go far. Mm-hmm. And it's that whole thing about, and I know why we do that, because I'm in that situation so where I just think I'm in a solo event alone. Part of it is part of competition, but what we need to realize is the sky is big enough for all of us. And so no one's really going to steal your ideas. You know, it's really about collaboration. And yes, you know, we're lawyers, so let's talk about that. You can always put parameters in place. You can always make sure you have the right framework in place. But really it's about collaboration. That's what the future looks like. And you know, everyone's been doing it. No one's been talking about it, but we need to encourage individuals to think in that sense as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. And it's so refreshing to hear other lawyers talk about collaboration over competition, which is completely where I'm at. And it is the future, definitely. So I've got one final question for you. What has been the biggest learning or something you've realized about yourself or about our profession over the last 18 months?
I think the one thing I've realized about myself, I've always known it, but I've never really done much about it. It's just this whole thing about perfectionism. And so I am a perfectionist. I'm a recovering perfectionist. And also So in that space, I always want to make sure I have all my ducks in a row. Everything must be perfect before it goes out. And so I have that obviously with the job I do and the rest of that. But I didn't realize actually that has affected every area of my life. And so therefore with doing anything and everything, it must be perfect first when it goes out. But what I'm learning about myself is actually what works best is progress over perfection. Is it actually starting? You know, rather than spending hours there looking at a piece of document you need to work and thinking, how do I do this? How, just start. And the minute you start putting the words together, the minute you start drafting, it will all come together. And the same thing with life. The minute you start, you know, and so it's really about starting. I think that's the one thing I've learned about myself. And I think there's been that fear and that whole thing about perfectionism, which not quite sure where I inherited it from. But yeah, it's really understanding that that is an issue and then realizing actually there's a way around it. That sometimes perfection is just not a name for procrastination. And it just probably explains why I probably procrastinated on a lot of things. For example, this masterclass, because it's all about perfectionism, right? Whereas now, yeah, it's progress, just start it and see how it goes. Nothing started one day becomes a huge success. You know, it takes time. It takes time. So that's what I'm learning, and that's over the last in this time really. That's just what I'm learning, and I can apply that to every area of my life, to my work, to everything. It's just about starting. You know, you want someone to be your friend, start with a hello. You know, that's where it starts, right? You don't start telling them your whole life history. You just start by saying hello, hi. You know, it's all about starting. You know, being brave, taking that bold step. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And that'll be so useful to so many of our listeners, because perfectionism is a very common lawyer trait, probably something firms have been hiring for years and years. But yeah, progress over perfection, definitely. And I think you're right, it is a form of procrastination, which is another way of saying we're stressed as well. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful takeaway from this year that I'm sure
that's great to know.
Learn from as well. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Victor, for joining me. We could talk for such a long time, but
there's so much to talk about, isn't there? But yes, I'm sure we'll have more opportunities to do this. But no, it's pretty great. It's been great being here and just to be able to share these things and for the opportunity. Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. Very welcome. If any of our listeners would like to come and join me for a Friday conversation sometime to share your lockdown journey and what the future looks like for you, then do get in touch. It'd be fantastic to speak to you. And do connect with Victor and myself on LinkedIn if you haven't already. Thank you very much, everyone.